everyone. Welcome to the podcast today, and thanks for tuning in. Joining me today is John Weiss from AnyDay. And AnyDay is one of our partners on the topic of earned wage access, which, you know, at least in my day-to-day activities, it's coming up all the time. We're getting a lot of questions on it. And so I thought this was a really good time to do an episode of a podcast. Hey, John, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Aaron, my pleasure to be here. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty good. It's a Friday. You know, it's nice outside. Yeah, right. So it's, yeah. How about you?
Well, it's Friday and it's I'm in Denver. It was 70 yesterday and it's snowing today. So that's spring in Denver.
Oh. Well, so I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous of the snow. I'm not a big fan, but. All right. Well, let's get to it, John. One of the trends, like I said, that keeps coming up, especially within the payroll space, is this concept of earned wage access, right? And this has any number of names. People call it on-demand pay, daily pay, instant pay, pay me now. Some of these are vendor names too. That sometimes makes it more confusing, right? Can you define this trend for me and then give an overview of, like, you know, why this is so hot right now?
Well, you're right. There are a lot of names for this, but at the end of the day, we refer to it as earned wage access. It's an employee being able to get access to dollars that they've earned prior to payroll being run. It's almost as simple as that. I mean, it's more complicated on the back end. We'll get into some compliance things, but at the end of the day, some of these folks need money prior to payroll being run. They can be, semi-monthly, bi-weekly, some even a monthly, you know, in Europe.
Yeah,
and they just,
for sure.
They've earned the money, but they just need it now.
And I think that's one of those things that historically, like, you know, as a gig worker, you know, you work in for a ride share or something like that. I think that was one of the appeals for it too, right? Like, I get my money on a more regular basis. And
It started there, Imran.
Yeah.
It started with the Ubers and the Lyfts. And also, it also started with the kids. I mean, the kids want money. Well, let me back up. The kids want everything instant. You know, you go to Spotify, I can get my music downloaded. I go anything. I want it instant. And now they want their money instant as well. So that's really started the trend. And then it rolled out, you know, to more of the traditional markets and companies.
It's funny you mentioned that, right? I was actually just talking to a friend of mine, and I have young kids, and we were talking about, you know, when I was younger, we'd have to wake up early on like a Saturday morning to see the cartoon we wanted. And even then we kind of got what we got. Whereas now, you know, if you want to go and see, you know, my daughter's watching Spidey and Friends and she wants to see season 2, episode 3, scene 4, right? Like whatever, that particular scene, she can get right to it in like instantly. Yeah. And so it's just the world has changed quite a bit, right?
Yeah. Why can't I get my money instantly as well? So,
yeah. So you've touched on it, like why this is needed of emergency payments. So is that the main thing or what else do you see there?
Well, as I said, you know, it started driven by the gig economy. But at the end of the day, emergency payments are driving some of these trends. You know, the workforce has changed today. All you hear in the economy today is inflation, recession, jobs, things of that nature. So the average worker is struggling from paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think I forget the stat, it's like 40% of the American workers can't handle a $400 unexpected expense. So, you know, what do? Go down to the corner store and, you know, the payday loans at 24-28% or max out your credit cards for a lot of high interest.
Yeah,
but if you have the money available and you don't have to do that, that's I think the trend for emergency payments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's very expensive. You know, those payday loans, those really hit people, especially while they're down too, right?
Well, yeah, and we I did a little prep for this. You know, we see that 50% of these dollars are used for utilities and bill pay. Some in retail, some in gas, you know, purchases and things like that. But that's the high percentage of where the people are using these dollars. They're not going to casino and spending it because that's what some companies are afraid of. They get in that rut, you know, that financial spiral, but they're spending it on things that they need.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, you know, like I imagine this is probably more of a phenomenon with certain industries, regions, and types of employees as well. I mean, Do you have any data on that?
There is data. I mean, we see, I'll back up in some of the areas that we see high interest is the retail area, manufacturing, okay, yep. Mm-hmm. Hospitality, you know, a lot of people traveling, you know, the nurses are traveling now, call centers. But the common theme there was that they're hourly workers and that they might not be making the high salaries that, salaried workers are working. And so that's where we see a lot of trend in those types of employees that are using the service. It doesn't mean that, you know, higher paid people that are salaried are not using it as well, because if you think about it, those guys have the Mercedes in the driveway. They have the second house in Boca Raton. And also their money's tied up in different non-liquid instruments. And so they might be using those too.
Yeah, I think I've seen that as well. I mean, I think the hourly retail, you know, some of those industries you mentioned are definitely the most obvious use cases. But, right. You know, like the more I've had conversations around this, I think that the reality are there's a lot of high earners that also struggle. And I've seen some research around this. I know there was a report talking about how like even 40%+ of high income earners making over $100,000 a year. And I think this was a U.S.-focused research paper, mm-hmm. We're still living paycheck to paycheck. And this was research is like from February of this year. And I think it's up from the research that came out the previous year, which is even higher than the previous year.
I totally agree. I think, and not that I'm a hugely high earner, but we actually launched it in our company. So I have a card, I have a solution. And it's funny because I keep my checking account light. You know, I keep it, mm-hmm. you know, pretty much because I know most of my expenses, and so I keep it within, you know, $500. But you have that expense, and I have money in the market or other instruments, and I've used this many times, and it's
interesting.
It gets you past that payday.
I guess that's good. You know, you see that for yourself, and you're right. I mean, there's absolutely a time value of money that comes into play here too. So, I mean, strategically speaking, being a high earner, you know, I guess if I'm really heavily invested in other things and I want to take my money and invest it in stocks, then I might not want a lot of money in a checking account. So, that could have an impact. And then, you know, even, you know, we talked about inflation. So money today is worth more than money next week. And I know I've seen some things where they talked about how if you do like, you know, early payments for your mortgage, I'm talking about like instead of mm-hmm. paying it monthly, you pay it over the course of like 2 weeks. Right?
Two times a month. Yeah.
That's times right. a month. How that actually has cuts off, you know, many, I don't know, maybe it's years. I don't know the exact number, but it makes it so you pay less over the 30 years or however long you have. So that time value of money, I think that's an interesting point of view that I just talked to, believe it or not, a customer about, and they were hearing some of that from their employees as well, right?
Well, also, we talked about what this is called, earned wage access. We actually view this as a financial wellness platform that happens to have pay cards and earned wage access associated with it. Part of the service that we provide as for a free service as well is the financial app on the app. We partner with a company called EverFi, and those companies allow people who haven't had, you know, a financial advisor that they have, you know, that some of us has. And so they can actually start doing some bill pay, some retirement, some investment information that's on the app. So we consider the base of this as a financial wellness platform.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's a very, very important distinction, because what you don't want to have, you know, if I'm looking at this and I'm a leader of a company and, you know, I have people that I'm paying, what I don't want is to get them further in a cycle of, okay, let me get my money early for this and that, and I just keep doing that over and over. I think my point of view is there really needs to be education that goes with this, right? Educating people you know, in this country, and I think many other countries, there's just a lack of financial education. And I think it could do more. We could do more, right? We could educate people how even how credit card interest rates work and how they're calculated, how, you know, like you can save money on that, how payday loans work, how to get started in investing in something, right? How, you know, there's many people that wouldn't know where to start. And so they never do start, right? And so even just what mutual funds are, you know, that type of financial wellness, I think it plays a good part. And I think, you know, a good company doesn't want their people to just, you know, request money for the purposes of emergency, but they want to kind of help them become more financially healthy as well, right?
And well, that's the one initial questions we get after we get through the demo and things. And the HR leader says, I don't want to get them in the cycle.
Yeah.
And so that's what we talk about. It's not just a, you know, getting dollars faster. It's getting financial wellness. And I always talk about, you know, financial wellness means mental wellness. And that's
of course,
that's what the HR, you know, leaders are all about within their organizations.
Well, definitely. I mean, you know, like if you just think about it yourself, right? Like, I don't think there's any type of stress that's quite like financial stress. And, you know, like, how are you really going to focus on your job when you're sitting there worried about, you know, other financial things or where your next meal is going to come from or how you're going to pay your mortgage or car rent, right? Like, how are you going to focus on a job? It's just, of course, that's going to be secondary.
I agree. Except for medical issues, I think that's the second most thing that's on the minds of people today.
Yeah, and understandably. All right, so let's switch gears now. We know kind of what this is about, who it's relevant for. We've touched about the financial aspects, and let's talk about the actual execution of this, right? I think one of the confusing things for people are there's many vendors that have come out about this, and there's also different ways to accomplish this, right? And for us, you know, we talk to different vendors, and, you know, some of them might have good intentions, but, you know, no one's running a business for free either, right? So let's talk about how different companies that offer this service, how they execute on it and monetize it. I think there's two obvious ones that people will think about and understand, and that's, hey, the employee pays for using this. The other one is the employer pays for this on behalf of the employee. And then, of course, there's anything in between. I know I've seen situations where the employer might pay for free for, you know, X number of transactions, and then the employee has to pay over that, or they subsidize it. And so those are the kind of obvious ones. However, I know like Anyday actually takes a different approach. Can you tell me about the approach you take and how that's kind of advantageous?
Sure. I'll do that secondly. But I think from the most of the market today is a they're providing the service, quote, free to the employer, but they're not charging, being a free solution to the employee. And you hit it a nail on the head. They're charging a transaction fee to that employee for getting their dollars. This transaction fee could be $2, $3, even $5. I've seen some companies. And
That can be expensive too, right? Like if I'm requesting $50 and I have to pay $5 for it, you know, that's a nice upcharge there, which, you know, I think hurts people while they might be in need too.
Imran, our data shows that 6.5 transactions are taken a month when someone adopts the solution. So you put 6.5 times X, and they're already using this for emergency services because they're, you know, short on cash. I just think it's counterintuitive to charge the employee for those dollars. We've taken a different approach. We don't charge the employer and we don't charge the employee for those transactions, and it, as long as the dollars are loaded to the Anyday card. And the reason we can do that, we as a company, we're called an issuer processor. And from a high level, when someone spends on that card, there's what they call a merchant interchange fee. Everybody charges it, MasterCard, Discover, you know, and we're on the MasterCard and Discover rails. And because we're an issuer processor, we get a percentage of that merchant interchange fee. It might be, you know, 1% or what have you. But we did that instead of charging the employee. So we think it's a nicer model, a softer model for that employee who needs the dollars.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, right? I think that's something that, you know, the employee or employer don't have to do. And when they spend their money, that's already going to happen one way or another, right? Whether you're using a credit card or debit card that mm-hmm. you have. And I think the interesting thing there is, as I talk to a lot of people, a lot of especially younger people, I'm seeing they actually don't even necessarily have bank accounts. So I think that also could be a positive thing for them to be able to get some of their money and put it onto a card directly too. Do you see that as something that's happening more commonly too?
We do. It's almost like a neobank type scenario. We with our solution, probably most solutions who have a card, you get an account number and a routing number. Employees like that, but we also see it for unbanked. There's a lot of folks that are unbanked in organizations.
I know, yeah.
And so this is a way for them to get, quote, on the grid, if you will, and have a banking account, you know, based on the cards that a company like ourselves or, you know, other organizations can issue.
Yeah, and I know that can get people away even from like check cashing services, which can cost things too, right?
They do. I forget the actual number. We were working actually with one of your opportunities within the SAP ecosystem, and they still do about 15,000 checks. They're a very, very large organization. So I think it's, you may know better than me, maybe $6 a check it costs, so times 15, you know, and if you're doing twice a month.
Yeah. Yikes. And, you know, the funny thing is many years ago when I used to be a consultant, I'd be setting up SAP payroll. I used to set up these check printers, right? And you had to get the Micker line right. And you're literally, you know, running the payroll, printing these checks. And, you know, as I talk to customers, there are still a fair amount of them that are printing a decent amount of checks every single pay period. Right.
We even see maybe even retirees using these too, because there's some companies who do retiree services, but and they're getting their checks as well. So there's hard costs of that as compared to getting a card for free and using the service.
Definitely. All right. Well, I think that's very helpful. You know, and this is still a pretty new concept for many companies. I think there's clearly a lot of interest in it. We're getting a lot of questions on it. There's, you know, clearly, you know, different ways of accomplishing this. But, you know, jumping over to kind of a different conversation of, you know, when you think about it, a lot of companies, and especially governments, they're usually behind the curve, especially when it comes to new technology, right? And I think we're starting to see different countries make decisions on this topic, on how it should be executed. I think there's laws that are coming out. I know I saw that the U.S. made some clarifications with the Treasury Department on how this is treated mm-hmm. and then not being loans. I've also kind of kept up with it, and other countries are changing laws too. And kind of it's going two different directions, right? It's some right. countries are going towards, hey, employees must have access to their money whenever they want to request it, right? And so I think this is a natural solution for that. Can you give me some insight on like what you're seeing from different locations and governments and whatnot?
Sure. So we as a company are focused on the U.S. and in Europe. We're launched in the U.K., but we're looking to expand to other countries. And one of the things that's driving us to some of these countries is, for example, Spain. And I believe France has enacted this as well, that they're forcing organizations to give their employees access to wages early in some way or form. So in this area, which, as you said, most of the countries and governments are slow, they're forcing earned mm-hmm. wage access into the ecosystem. From a state's perspective, that we're usually a leader. We're from a federal, we're kind of looking, I think they're looking at these what's happening at these different countries. But we as a state we keep trends of all the states, because each state's, you know, is different in their rules. Yep. And you have California, which is their own country anyway over there. You know, so. So we have a whole compliance department that keeps track of all the new things that may affect an earned wage access solution. So we're on top of that as well. But I think other countries are going to see how this works out in Spain and France, and maybe, you know, coming on stronger in the future.
Yeah, definitely. And I know, like, you know, when I looked at this, even SAP, we explored doing this, you know, kind of ourselves before we settled on, you know, I think a good model is you have to have a focus, and, you know, a company like Anyday is doing that. There's also, I don't think it's the most complicated thing from a technology standpoint, but there's a lot to it from a legal standpoint, right? And I think, you know, when I talked to you previously, there's the most common thing that people think about is, oh, okay, well, we're going to give them, the employee, $50, and then we'll put that as a deduction and just get it during the normal paycheck as a deduction. But I think, you know, there's different ways of doing that too, right?
Yeah, hopefully we went the most compliant way for that, mm-hmm. that address all the states in the UK. What we do is just do another direct deposit transaction inside the person's payroll. So let's say, you know, we took $200 out this pay period, you have $1,000 in there. Well, the person's going to get $800 on their normal direct deposit, and then we'll get paid back through a second direct deposit, you know, through ACH back to us. And we thought that was really clean, simple, and compliant. And compliant is kind of the operative word there, you know.
Yeah. That's definitely one of the keys, right? Especially as you read the individual legislations. I think, you know, like the deduction model would be compliant with certain states, but, you know, you also have to build a solution that's going to be kind of compliant more holistically too, right? And so I think with that way, is there a methodology for, you know, like if there's a garnishment or something like that, or, you know, the order in which you're paid?
No, we're the last on the grid there, which is fine. Because, you know, if we had given some dollars and we can't get recouped, we get it on the next pay period. But what happens is that we've built real-time integration into the SuccessFactors products and services. Mm-hmm. And so before, when that someone requests those dollars, before we actually give it to them, we do quick checks. Are they employed? Have they had a garnishment lately?
Sure.
Do I have enough money in there? And in addition to that, because we're typically funding this, industry standard is providing maybe 50% of the net dollars that they're available. So if I had $700 net today, I might only allow that person $350 to get. So it gives us a little buffer in for the question.
Okay, gotcha. And last question for you, John. I know we're probably right up on time now. What happens if someone gets some money from you and then, I don't know, they leave the company and they still owe you something? How does that play out usually?
And that's an outlier because, as I mentioned, we're only giving 50%. A portion of their money. We're doing final checks, but you could have a final garnishment. Who knows what happens? And in our, actually, I had a call this morning about that. We've had happen two times in our company's history.
Oh wow!
So
okay.
It's a real small percentage, but it could happen. And
yeah, like a
does
claim
happen.
Or, you know, they owe the company money, or, you know,
could be a way.
Common thing.
We as a company have made the decision. We have, it's called no employee recourse. We will not go after that employee for those dollars, whatever it is. We will not go after that employee for that as well. It's just part of our business model. And again, if you think of our business model, it's financial wellness. We're not here to get every nickel and dime back from someone. So it's a nice feature that we offer as well.
All right, cool. Well, that's good to know. I really appreciate you joining me, John. Appreciate all your knowledge, your insight. This is really helpful. I think people will find it helpful. And, you know, I think I learned some things as well, and I'm in this space too. So appreciate you coming on and providing your expertise. Thanks.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for happening, and thanks for being a partner of us. We're so excited.
All right. Appreciate it. Have a good one. Bye.
Take care. Bye.